Charging, be seated, if you please. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord was right. He did give Brother Keith something, didn't he? Praise God. Whoa, that was outstanding. Thank you, Jesus. Let's open our Bibles once again this evening, where we began yesterday evening. In Genesis chapter 26. What was it Brother Hagin used to say? I got my tongue wrapped around my eye tooth, couldn't see what I was about to say. Something like that. Well, I guess that's what happened to me right then. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis 26, we'll begin there at the first chapter. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you, and will bless you, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, let's take a look at this word that Isaac received. Well, I wish God would appear to me like that and tell me what to do. Well, why? You've got what he said to Isaac. Why should he come appear to you when you got the book? I'll tell you what, when you get to heaven, you ask Isaac which he had rather have, God to appear to him every 40, 50 years, or have the book that you carry all the time around the clock. You can hear from God 24 hours a day. And I'll tell you what he'll tell you. Oh, the book, the book. How do I know that's what he would say? Because of what Peter said. Peter said, we saw him and we heard his audible voice. But there is a more trustworthy voice. And he said that that more excellent voice than hearing him audibly from his excellent glory was the Scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This book that you have in your possession is just as much a manifestation of God in the earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God in the beginning. Hallelujah. Now, when you understand that and it begins to grow in you and you look at it and you say, yes, amen, I change my thinking to this. You need to understand this. It took me way too long to get this. I should have gotten it earlier. But I was burdened down with a lot of doubt and unbelief and a terrible amount of fear. Fear of failure just lived with me. And but this is so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it. Well, and we've had some really high-priced help over the years, you know, to misunderstand the Word of God. But now listen to how Jesus put it. I liken him unto a wise man. Remember him saying that about the man that built his house on the rock? Right. I liken him unto a wise man. It didn't say he was a wise man. It says he did what a wise man does. Right. Yep. So what did he get? He got a wise man's result. Right. And then he said, you remember the other example about the man who built his house on the sand? He said, I liken him to a fool. Didn't say he was a fool. But he said he did what a fool does, and so you get a fool's result. Now, a person looks at a very, very successful person, a very successful athlete, or someone that is unusually successful at what they do. And you look at that person and say, well, I could never, I could never do that. You can if you do what they do. If you could think what they think and say what they say and do what they do, if they would tell you what they think, say, and do, and you go think and say and do the exact same thing, you're going to get awfully close to being exactly the same way, good or bad. And here is the marvelous part. The Bible is very clear when it says, be like your heavenly Father. Whoa! If you do what he does, and think what he thinks, and say what he says, ta-da! There's going to come the time, if they've seen you, they've seen Jesus. It just can't keep it from happening. Oh, Brother Copeland, not me. You're right, not you. You're not doing what he did. You're not saying what he said. The Word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. But you won't allow that mind in you. So when people see you, they don't think about Jesus. They just think about everybody else. Because you just like them. Why? You act like they act. You say what they say. Right. You think what they think. And you do what they do. So guess who you look like? Them.
Right.
Huh?
That's good.
That is alarmingly simple.
Yes, sir.
But it takes the mighty power to accomplish it. And the world can't do it. They can do it up to a point, but they'll come to a place where they fall. Because without God, you can't be like God. Without God, you can't do anything but fail. Are you hearing me? Now you have to understand that this is what the Spirit of God was driving home to us tonight through Brother Keith. God loves me. Well, I just don't see how you folks can just go about saying that. Oh, no, God loves me. How do you know God loves you? You feel like God loves you? Well, what do my feelings have anything to do? If I was God, I probably wouldn't love me. But thank God he's God, and Gloria don't know no better. She didn't love me anyway. Oh, listen, she loved me when it wasn't easy, brother. Thank God she did. She saved my life. And I... But when you begin to say what he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Yeah, I know, but he don't care nothing about me. Do you have any idea how blasphemous that statement is. That is awfully close to something you don't want to do or say.
Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but I just don't feel like it's true in my case.
Well, what is so special about you, Hot Rod, that even the blood, it wasn't good enough? Even God's Word's not good enough. Why are you the one that God would say, I am no respecter of persons except in your case? Are you going to be like that guy that's sitting in the psychiatrist's office and he said, well, the good news is, buddy, you don't have an inferiority complex. You are inferior. Oh, no, 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 no. See, God knew you before the foundation of the world, the Scripture says. He knew you when there wasn't a devil. He knew you and called you by your name. The Scripture says it over and over and over. Before the foundation of the world, He knew you. He laid out a plan for you and for you to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God made every human being that was to be born in this earth more fabulously rich and wealthy beyond imaginable, beyond human thought. Because the Scripture says, it has not entered into the heart of man, neither into his eyes has he ever dreamed what God has in store for those that love him. Whew. Made you rich before the foundation of the world. Well, he don't ever change. Adam goofed it off, but Jesus got it back. Amen. Just a simple matter of transfer. Amen. Well, brother, I know when I get to heaven, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. What are you waiting on? You don't have to wait to get to heaven. You already been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Not after that. It doesn't happen when you die and go to heaven. If you have not been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, according to Colossians chapter 1, 12, 13 verses, then you ain't going to heaven when you die. No, that's when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got taken out of darkness and put into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. So quit turning the light off. Amen. What kind of a fool does it take to walk in a room, turn out the light, and then stumble over everything in there? Hallelujah. All right, let's go back here now to chapter 26. He appeared to him and said, don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I will tell you of. Dwell in there. Sojourn in this land. What does that mean? Sojourn has some, it has a definition, a dictionary definition and all that. But the whole idea of this is walk through that land fearless. Walk through it with no fear. Don't fear your enemies. Be like David, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, for I will be with you. Isn't that what he just told him? Sojourn, I'll be with you. Walk through it like you own it, brother. You walk out of your house every morning with a smile on your face. Whew, like you own the world. You do. You do. Amen. Instead of being a victim, you are a victor. And this is the victory that overcomes what? The world. even our faith. Not anything in this world order that faith won't overcome. But now he didn't say, you stay here at the house now until you get all built up. Or I tell you, it'd be all right. Why don't you just go on down that Egypt where you're easy going down there for? There wasn't nothing easy about going to Egypt. It just looked good from where he was. God said, no, I don't need you in Egypt. I need you here. The blessing in you will break this famine. I don't want these other people in famine anymore, and I want you in famine. But they don't know me. You do. Now stay put and sojourn in this land. Now, he obeyed him. And God said the reason that Abraham was so blessed is because he obeyed him. Now notice, he said, I will perform the oath that I swore to your father, Abraham. I will perform what I told him. I'll do it. I swore it to him. I'll do it for you. Well, the same oath he swore to Abraham is what he swore to Jesus. Hold your place there. We're going to come back there. I want you to see this. We refer to that a lot, but you need to put your eyes on this. In Galatians 3, and look at the 7th verse. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or make righteous, or that word justify, this is an amazing word. In English, it's an amazing word. When you hear it like it's saying, it's the same translation of the same word that translated righteousness. Or made right, to come into right standing with God even though you did wrong. But he has made your wrong right. And so now in his eyes you are right and not wrong. Now, in a court of justice, court of law, you have been justified. God has declared justice is served by the blood of Jesus, so I don't need your blood. Justice is served. Excuse me. I step on Charles's toes anytime I get ready. I've been stepping on his toes for 25 years every time he sits on the front row. Amen. Praise God. Now, he justified you. The devil will say, that's not justice. He broke your law. He deserves to die. Justice has not been served. And God steps in there and said, oh, yes. He came to me with this. Justice has been served by the death and resurrection of Jesus, and I am satisfied you are justified in my eyes. Justice has been done. Amen. And you get up and walk out of that courtroom a free person. Boy, isn't that marvelous? Now, keep that in mind, because that's seeing. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify, make righteous the heathen through faith, preached. God preached the gospel unto Abraham. Now follow the course of this. Now listen to what it says. It's the Scripture is foreseeing that God would make righteous the heathen. Who are the heathen? The sons, the seed, the heirs of Ham and Japheth. Shem stayed with the blessing. He passed it on to Abram. He ministered it to Abram. And Abram received it, entered covenant with God, raised his hand before the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. Now, he preached the gospel unto Abraham. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How then shall they hear without a preacher? They can't. In this case, God preached it to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. With the blessing of Adam, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus, you and me. Same blessing. The Eden covenant blessing. We read it in our morning service this morning in the 51st chapter of Isaiah. I'll turn the famine into the garden of the Lord. And I'll make you waste places like Eden. Now that's what the blessing does. Now, follow me now. He preached it to Abraham, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. All right, now I come down to the 13th verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham. Now, this book right here, I thought Jesus went to the cross for salvation. He did. But it says right here that he went to the cross, so he was made the curse, hanging on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles.
Amen.
Well, I thought the gospel was salvation. It's part of the gospel. The gospel. It says God preached the gospel. Don't you think God knew what he's doing when he's preaching? He said the blessing was the gospel. Jesus went to the cross to get the blessing on you. Amen. Well, salvation, healing, financial prosperity, deliverance from fear, sin, sickness, demons, fear, hell at the end, all of that is part of the blessing. Well, of course, it's part of the gospel. But no one of them is the gospel. The gospel is the whole package. That the blessing might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds, plural. See that S on the end of that? He saith not to seeds as of many, or as of plural, but as of one. One seed to thy seed, which is Christ. So all this time, God preaching the gospel to Abraham, God making covenant with Abraham. Abraham was privileged to handle that covenant, but God was covenanting with Jesus all this time, preparing him to come into this earth and be the shed blood of that covenant. Well, then you come on down there to the 28th verse. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. He didn't say, you are Abraham's seeds. It's just as singular talking about you as it was when it's talking about Jesus. You are his joint heir. So he's talking to you. You're just as righteous as Jesus is.
Right.
You're just as loved as Jesus is. Yes. After all, your sin was laid on Him. He wasn't laid on you. You were laid on Him. That means Jesus was the sacrifice to get you. Now, who's important in this? Well, Jesus is important because He did it, but you were important because you were the one He paid the price for. God loves me. Wow. Oh, God loves me. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Now, let's go back in there where we were now. Go back over there to Genesis 26. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Now, none of that made any sense. Don't go to Egypt. Stay here. I'll be with you and I'll bless you. It was hard on Abraham because he didn't have any background for it. Brother, I mean, he had to learn it from scratch and it took him a long time. I mean, God worked with him and dealt with him and to get him to the place where his faith finally came to the point where he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what He had promised. Fully persuaded. But that didn't come overnight. But here with this young man, my goodness, he had all that in his background. He heard him. He saw him. He appeared to him and he looked him in the face and said, "Don't go down there. Stay here. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. And I want you to sojourn in this land." Now, what does that mean? I want you to walk through this land like you own it, yeah. But you walk through this land listening to me.
Amen.
You do what I tell you to do like it made sense. And when everybody else is doing something else, and it looks like you're going to do just the opposite of what everybody else does, Satan will do his best to get your mind on what they're going to think. You better get that off of there. I'm telling you, for years and years and years, Gloria and I just didn't watch any television at all. Back then, there wasn't any gospel being preached on it anyway. We just didn't watch it. We were too busy training ourselves and being trained by the Lord and being trained by our elders. And we stuck to them like glue. We listened to every tape. We read every book. And we listened to them over and over and over. We didn't get in the car and turn on the radio. We got in the car and turned on those tapes. And back then, there wasn't any tape player in the car. We had to have a portable tape player sitting in the front seat, and those old carbon batteries wouldn't last but one tape. It took a grocery sack full of batteries to listen to a set of tapes, man. But we listened to it night and day. I went to bed with it at night. Got up the next morning. Got up there in my tape machine going blip, 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 blip. Rewind it, take it in there in the bathroom, set it over there on the back of the commode and shave while Brother Hagin preaching to me, while Brother Oral's preaching to me. All the time. All the time. What am I doing? I'm sojourning in the land of promise. Ain't got any money. Don't make any difference. He's with me. I didn't need money. I got faith. He'd tell you to do something, don't make sense. Well, I don't. It ain't supposed to make sense. It makes faith.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You just do it. And a lot of times I messed it up. And God just picked me up and dusted me off, and here we go again. I mean, through whatever kind of recession, through bad situations in our family. Oh, my goodness. My little niece. I'm just, oh, my goodness. She was older than my grandchildren are coming up, and she had already stepped out there, and she at a real young age she was a missionary before she ever got out of high school. She'd go overseas, I mean, just get the least little vacation. She'd head off somewhere to minister to somebody, And she went to Germany and Mexico. I don't remember. I don't remember how many places she went. But and all of a sudden, just one night, the first Monday morning of the believers, Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth. And we had gotten together the night before. Our international directors were in. And she and her husband were part of that international team. In fact, they were head of that. They were over the international outreaches and offices from the home office here. And we'd had a great time that night. And Gloria and I had just gotten home. And just getting ready for bed. We've got a morning service in the morning. So in the morning we're going to move on down to the hotel, and had just gotten in home, and John called me. And, hey, Daddy. And I said, yeah, John. I mean, it had been, you know, just a little bit ago. We was having supper with him. I said, yeah, John. He said, Daddy, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, what, John? He said, we had a car wreck, although, and Nikki's dead. I shouted so loud, I know good and well. It seemed to me like it must have shook the shingles on top of the house. Just my gut just poured out of God. Hey, this ain't no time to turn loose your faith. This is no time to back out and say, well, somebody will just have to take my place in the morning. I just can't preach that service. I'm just too grieved. No, bless God, that's the time I am going to preach the service. I preach my mama's home going. I preach my daddy's home going. My mother went home to be with the Lord the day before the Monday of the Southwest Believers Convention on another year. Somebody said, oh, Brother Copeland, are you going to preach that Monday service? I said, are you kidding? If there ever was a sure way to raise Mama from the dead, would be for me not to preach a service just because she went to heaven. Dear God, she'd have crawled me from A to Z if I'd ever done something like that. Don't make sense. It makes faith.
Right, that's right.
I won't go into all the different tragic things that we walked through and walked through them in victory. Our whole family walked through them in victory. Stood on the Word of God. Walked through it. Wasn't easy, but it's faith. I don't pick and choose what I do by faith. Do it all by faith, man. Don't just wait till something bad happens. Well, I've got to use my faith on this. Or try to use it on the easy stuff. You might start with the easy stuff, but you keep going. Amen. I don't care what it looks like. And you do what God tells you to do in it too. Do whatever it takes. You get before Him and you stay with Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. Things are not like they look. Gloria and I had been driving a long ways, and we came in staying with my mom and dad that night, and oh, we'd been preaching, and we were both tired, and we got in kind of late, and when we walked in the door, I said, Mama, I am really hungry. You got anything to eat? We hadn't eaten in a long ways. Yeah, she walked over there at the stove, and she cooked up, said, Gloria, you want anything? Well, she said, yeah, I'll eat a little something. So Mama fixed some, she scrambled up some eggs right quick, you know, and I sat down there at the table. The telephone rang. Well, the conversation wasn't long. Mama slammed the phone down. I found out later somebody had said to my mother, called my mother's name and said, Vanetta, if you want to see your Aunt Eileen alive, you better get down to this hospital right now. She's just about to die. I'll be right down there is all I heard Mama saying. She slammed that phone down. She turned around there to me. She just set those eggs in front of me. She turned around that at me, and she said, come on. I said, well, where are we going? She said, there's somebody just calling, said, Aunt Eileen's just about to slip out of this life. She said, come on, get up, man. We got to go. I said, no, ma'am. You get up from there. Right now, I said, no. I'm going to eat my supper. Now, at this point, I didn't want the supper. Don't you ever, ever let the devil see you jump and run because he's about to do something or because he just did something. You know what I got for him? To hell with him. Hell was made for him. And that is the strongest curse that can ever be pronounced to any human being. I would never say that to a human being. No, 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 no. You don't know how serious and how deep that is. The best and most highest authority of anything you can say to another human being is, God bless you. And say, God bless you. The devil religiousized God's blessing down to something you do when you sneeze.
Come on, that's true.
And the worst, the most terrible thing that anybody could say is to pronounce somebody to go to hell. Oh, you don't know how deep that is with God. It cost him to keep you from going to hell. Don't ever let the devil see you sweat.
Right.
You walk by faith. And on the inside, I'm wanting to jump and run just like Mama done. But I'm not going to tell her what I'm doing. Don't just shoot your mouth off all the time.
That's true. That's good.
The devil will poke at you trying to get you to say something because that's the only way he can find out what you're going to do.
Right.
He can't see look on the heart. Only God look on your heart. He's got to go by what you say.
That's good.
He had to train you to talk all the time or he won't know what you're going to do. I said, no, ma'am. She said, Kenneth, did you hear what I said? I said, yes, ma'am. Greater is he that is in me than he that's down there trying to kill Aunt Allie. I'm going to eat my eggs. Oh, Lord, she said. Well, I ate those eggs. They taste like rubber by this time. I didn't want to eat them, but I'm eating them by faith and I'm eating them on purpose. Now, when she listens, what am I doing? I am sojourning. I had to latch on to the fact that God is in me and God is with me. And I ate my eggs. She said, now will you come on? I said, I'm going back to the bedroom and put on a clean shirt. Oh, Kenneth, come on, she said. Now, the thing is just roaring on the inside of me. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And they came to Jesus and said, come on, come on. Don't you know Lazarus is dying? Come on, come on. And he just hung around a couple of three more days. So I went back there and put on a clean shirt. I came out. I said, okay, let's go. And we got in the car. I said, Mama, you drive. So I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. Just prayed in the Spirit all the way down to the hospital. Well, by the time I got down there, I'd already heard from the Holy Ghost, and I knew what to do. Now, if you're just going to come undone at the seams, and you're driving and dodging cars and doing all this, you ain't got a clue what God wants you to do. Settle down. Live and walk by faith. I walked in there. Well, by the time we got down there, they had taken her out of her room and put her over here in this little plain Jane room with nothing in it because the doctor had already come by there and said, well, she's gone. And so they rolled her over there in that other room, waiting for somebody to come by there and officiate the death certificate. Well, she's not officially dead. It ain't on paper yet. I don't care. What does that paper have to do with anything? But I knew what to do. And I walked in there. and her daughter was standing at the head of her bed, talking on the telephone, making funeral plans. The power and the word of God was all over me. And I walked in to her dad. I said, Lois, put the telephone down. She put the phone down. She put it down before she'd realized what she'd done. I said, just don't do that. And I walked over there too. And the Lord had told me two different scriptures to read. And I started reading. And I heard the devil say, now ain't you a fine come on. Standing there reading the Bible to a dead woman. And I didn't say it. I wanted to, but I didn't have time. I wanted to say, well, I could read it to you. You're deader than she is. I didn't say it. I just went ahead and read. And I just read. And I read half of one scripture and the top half of another. That's what he told me to do. And it didn't make any sense, but it made faith. Why? I was obeying. I was sojourning. He was there. He was with me. The blessing is in the room.
That's good.
And mother walked up there beside the bed. Glory was already standing there. Glory was just standing there just quietly praying in the Spirit. Just as I finished reading that, the word of the Lord came to me. And I spoke the words that God said, speak. Exactly. Close as I could get it. To be exactly what he said. Not add to it. Don't take away. Say exactly what he said. Well, what if it don't make sense? I wasn't talking to you. And so I just said those words. And then he said, tell her to open her eyes. I said, Aunt Eileen, open your eyes. And her eyes popped open. She said, Kenneth, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here praying for you. Oh, my goodness, she said, glory to God. And then mother walked over there and she said, see that thing sticking out there on her chest, right there on her breastbone there? I said, yeah. She said, that's the thing that's been choking the life out of her. I said, oh. And I just touched it in a finger like I said, in the name of Jesus, before I got the whole name of Jesus out, it just went, boop. Just gone. Her daughter was standing there big-eyed. She lived two more years. Healthy. She was an elderly woman. But she lived two more years, just two more years of good life.
Praise God, amen.
But the point that I'm making here to you is stay steady. Don't just go just fly off like a frisbee in every direction. Raise your children to be that way. Don't just say, oh, mama, don't know what. Oh, mama, just don't know. Oh, yeah, God, mama, just so afraid. Would you please shut up? You're training the child to be like that. And they will. And then you'll have to pay the price for it later on all the stuff you wish they hadn't have done. But mama was so afraid you're going to do it. No. Don't ever let the devil or them see you sweat. You sojourn. Where? In the land of promise. In the land of promise. Now, I mean, this kind of thing happened all the time. Not that drastic, but there were all the time there were things, particularly back there the first 20 years of this ministry. I mean, it was just something all the time. God said, I want you to do this. Oh, man. Okay. Well, it would show up in times of recession, tragedy, emergencies. How you react? What are you going to do? Are you going to just go at something just off of the top of your head? Or are you going to stop and dig something up from down in here and then move? And it took, like I said earlier, man, it took a long time to train in this. It was working all the time, but it took years to develop that, because that's not the way the world lives. That's not the way you were raised. That's not the way you think. No human being does until they get in that book and change their way from the way Babylon thinks right. to the way God thinks.
Right.
Hallelujah. But you think like he thinks, and you talk like he talks, and you act like he acts, you will become like him. Hallelujah. That's just the way it is. Yes, amen. Well, I noticed this. I had to keep my eyes fixed on the Word. I had to keep my eyes fixed on what we were called to do. I ain't got time to mess with all this stuff going on around me. I can't focus on that and focus on this at the same time. They're the two opposites. If I get to looking out there and I get to listening to all of that and I get to looking at my own body and feeling and see if I'm healed, look and see what's going on. I get to doing things like that and your faith just, just bottoms out and it'll do it in a few minutes. It won't take long. And you'll catch yourself worrying and you haven't been worried about anything for a while till you got to watching that junk, reading their newspapers again. Didn't you read in that article, Brother Copeland, what they said about you? No.
Right.
I don't care what they said about me. And I'm sure smarter than to read it.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Good.
You don't even try to get rid of the good stuff. And that's more dangerous to believe that than it is to have to deal with the bad stuff. But why read it and then have to get rid of it? Why don't you just not read it to start with?
Right.
Now, I realized after a while why God was telling me this. And like what he was telling Isaac here. You keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on his word. And you don't feed on those outside sources of information. You don't feed on that stuff. Now, you're following God and you're endeavoring to obey him. And in just doing that, not even listening to all that that's going on out there in the world, you're still going to have to believe God. You're still having to walk this thing out by faith. And there's a certain amount of things that are going to buffet against you and all that kind of thing. You can't hide out from the world. No. You don't. You're separated from the world. Huh? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. It didn't say isolate yourself. But don't feed on their information. I love you, but I don't care a thing in the world about your newspaper. See my point in that? And I realized, whatever they do, I still got to believe God. I still have to believe God. I still have to sow seed. I still have to do exactly the same thing, whatever the economy out there is doing, up, down, inside, or out. I still have to do the very same thing. I have to walk by faith. I have to walk upright before God. I have to walk in love. I have to believe God. I have to sow. I have to believe and realize my faith in harvest. I have to do all of the same thing. Preach the word in season and in out. Whether I ever heard anything about what's going on in the world or not. I still have to do the very same thing. So why add all that mess to it and run the risk of contaminating my faith with fear? Jesus said, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. They don't run in the same pipe at the same time. One of them will contaminate them. Well, fear is a bully. And if it can, it'll bully your faith. Now, I realized that if we keep our eyes on the Word, and I'm focused on that, and on what I'm called to do. I'm believing God. Things are happening around us and happening in the ministry for towards our success. And the things that the devil was doing to bring us down had most of the time little to no effect. But now when something did slap into the midst of things, like some kind of family tragedy, a death, or some other something, when something like that did happen, you didn't have to get your faith up. It is already up. You were already doing it. You were already walking in love. You don't have to make a decision. If anybody ugly to me today, I'm not going to be ugly back. Yeah, you are. You know why? You'll forget it. You'll remember it about 2 hours later, and you'll have to repent because you beat them up. No, that's not the way you do this. You start your day off, I love you, Father. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. And Lord, because it pleases you, I love my neighbor as myself. I keep that commandment. I put that commandment right up in my face, Lord. I just keep it there. Praise the Lord all day long. I just thank you that I love you and you love me and we got a good day going here and I'm reporting for duty. And what may I do, sir, to help you today? And I love the brethren even as Christ loved me. Now, I've already got that going. Now, I walk out the door. Now, somebody does, insult me or something ugly happens or something like that. I'm already loving God.
Right.
I've already have the commandment in operation. I don't have to remember it. It is there in my memory. I'm already doing it.
Yes.
It'll just bounce off of you. And sometimes they think you're so dumb you didn't understand that they were mad.
Yeah.
Well, you probably look like that because it didn't affect you.
Right.
You just treat them like they're saved.
Come on.
I've had guys, just to cuss and turn around and see me standing there and say, "Oh, my God, preacher. I'm sorry. I'll forgive my ugly talk." Well, his cussing didn't bother me. I don't like to hear it. But now, I'm not going to pay somebody to cuss me by going to a movie.
Come on. That's true.
I got a little gadget on my television called a cuss free.
Yeah.
Takes the cussing out.
That's true.
Praise God. I guess that's what I get for having a TV, huh? But I got to watch Keith. So. But then I had to go adjust the curse free so he can say Jesus without the thing cutting him off. Oh, yeah, it'll cut him off if you don't redo it. It'll say, Oh, hallelujah. Ain't living fun. Praise the Lord. Now, when you stay in faith, you don't have to go get in faith. If you get out of faith, you get right back, you repent, you get back in. I don't care what you feel like. You may feel like a dog, but that's all right. You repented, and God is faithful, and He's just to forgive you when you confessed it. Not only that, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I still feel so bad. Well, those are just symptoms of that sin. It's gone, but the symptoms are still in your flesh and in your mind. Rebuke them. Get them out of there. Don't be let that lead you. Don't be embarrassed around God. When you confessed that sin, wasn't when He found out about it. That's when you got rid of it. Amen. Be quick to repent. I mean, right while you're standing there, just stop. Say, no, wait a minute. I exaggerated when I told you that. That is just a lie. Excuse me just a minute. Father, I just lied to this man. I repent. He's They don't know how to act around somebody like that because they lie all the time. Said, just forgive me, man. I promised God I wouldn't do that no more. And they'll say, I'm okay. I forgive you. It builds confidence. They don't think you're crazy. They stop and think about it a little bit, and then they think, wow, hey, that's strange, but that's different. Now, we were, oh my, the tele-evangelists. Oh, brother. Tele-evangelist scandals. Boy, I mean the news media jumped on that. And so did all the unforgiving Christians. Dear Lord, whole ministries were destroyed during that time. They didn't have anything to do with all that other, but the people just, I don't know, it's just such a mess. The devil just ripped and tore into gospel television and it was a mess. And a lot of, just about everybody's income just started down. Well, we had, by that time, we had built such a powerhouse Word of God foundation under this ministry. I had learned years before that my partners were not my source. And when I began to write partner letters, the Lord told me, He said, you have to stand before me and hold that letter up before me and be able to say in my face that you did not write one word of that letter with in mind, this is better to say this, because if I don't, they might not want to send in an offering and change what you said. He said, don't you dare do that. You are not writing those letters to get your needs met. Your needs are met by your giving. You're writing that letter to get their needs met. And until you can say it, you tear it up and don't mail it. Well, in those early years, I tore up a bunch of them. But you have to be honest before God. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. Not condemning. Condemnation don't work. You can condemn yourself for 50 years. You won't change nothing. You'll just be as mad at yourself 50 years from now as you were now. But when you're honest with yourself, look yourself in the face and judge yourself, the Scripture says. Then you'll not be judged with the world. You judge yourself. Oh, no, Lord, I can't throw it down and start over. Well, I hadn't had to do that as much in recent years. I still have to do it. I have to examine it every time I write it, every book that I write. And I've noticed over the years, I start thinking that way over something, and the Lord will say, I want you to give that to so-and-so. Huh? I want you to give that to so-and-so. Oh, I see. I'm all of a sudden thinking about my needs. How can I market this? How can I sell more tapes? That's the time you better start giving them. You're getting into business. No. You're not a master tape salesman. You are a servant of the Most High God to serve the people. Now, you have to maintain that. Well, Gloria and I felt like we were really blessed to have already scheduled a number of meetings in Australia right at that time. I mean, those scandals were really underway. They were just slugging it out with one another, dear God. And the news media was just slobbering over this thing. All these preachers fighting one another. Oh, they were loving it. We got over to Australia, and dear me, I mean, the Australian press was having a field day. And they're even more blasphemous in their ideas back there than our press was. And so, man, I mean, it was all the talk on the Australian press. They'd run some American news clip about what this preacher did or that preacher did. And just hee-haw, just horse laugh the thing on television. Well, we were having great meetings. It's my dumb fault for turning on the TV. And so turned that thing off, and I just laid there in the bed in the hotel room, had a meeting, started the next morning. I said, Gloria, man, what is happening here? The word of the Lord came to she and I both and said, when you get home, I want you to go on television daily. Lord. And this is one time he told us why. He said, my word is the only thing that'll build your country back up. And I want it out there. I want the word of faith out there. Oh, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to do that. This is not the time to go on more television. This is the time to get off and leave town. But you're going to have to sojourn in the land of promise. And I fussed with him about it. And back in those days, we were flying on airlines. When we went overseas, our airplane didn't have enough range to cross the oceans. And I'm sitting back there in that airplane on that long haul from Australia. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, Lord. Daily broadcast. Daily. Daily. I don't want to be on daily. I thought I was already busy. And I don't want to do more. I'm tired now. By the time I got home, I said, all right, I'll do it. I'm willing to be willing. That's all I can give you right now. And you can almost hear the smile in his voice. Well, that's all I ever asked for. Just willing to be willing. Well, when you're willing to be willing, it won't take but about 30 more seconds and you're going to be willing. Because you just give him that little open door and that he'll just pop all the slack out of you. Just right then, and all of a sudden you got a smile on your face. Yes, Lord, now I'll do it. Because you know you're going to die if you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, we got home. I called Terry. Terry is my TV producer back then, my daughter. And she wasn't just the TV producer. She's the TV writer, the TV director, the TV everything. And I called her, Terry, the Lord spoke to us while we was in Australia, and we're going on TV 5 more days a week. She said, whoa, what? She said, when? I said, now. We didn't have any place to make 5 daily broadcasts. We had a warehouse over there we'd started building. But financially, things are looking pretty rough because of the TV evangelist mess. And everybody's just saying, you don't want to go on more television. You don't want to build another building. You don't want to, no. Take it easy. You know, no. This is a time to attack. I didn't want to. But the more I said yes, the more bullheaded I got about it. I'm going to do this thing, praise God. Man, I'm telling you, Terry went to work. I mean, she's working and believing God. And she's as bullheaded as I am. And she just bit that thing. And Gloria always amazes me. She just, well, yes, amen. Hallelujah. And here she goes. She just ducked her little head, and here she goes. And you couldn't back her up with a truck. And like the Lord said to me about her, he said, she's precious to me. I've given her to you. She is to you what temper is to steel. Steel's brittle until you temper it. And she's the strength of the steel in this family. Well, I'm telling you, Terry gathered her up a crew and George and everybody around there in those days, 1988, latter part of the year. They gathered up a crew and they made a TV studio, a nice TV studio, out of that unfinished warehouse that we had going. Put a little better front on the front of it, and we had us a daily television studio. And what was it, January 89, we went on not one day a week, but 6 days a week right in the middle of the most worthless, television evangelist stock was worthless. It was the worst thing in the eyes of the church and the sinners. TV evangelists. And here we took on 5 days a week and doubled the cost of television. And you know what God did? I mean, this thing went zoom. And I was right. Boy, he put us to work. I walked in there one day and I said, I'm not making no more television broadcast today. Bye. Well, what are we going to do? We've got to have the tapes. I said, I'll make them yourself. I'm not making any more. I was empty. I was a poured out gourd, man. I said, I don't care if you run blank tape on those stations. I am done. I'm not going to go in there without the anointing of God just to fill up a tape. I'm going to house. What are we going to do? Gloria said,
I'll do it.
Man, I tell you, she had just begun to preach and well, she didn't want to do that at all. I'd know her for 2-3 days before she ever said anything. Well, them days are gone. I mean, she's a preaching machine now. But back then, she said, "I'll do it." I didn't realize it until I began to rest and recover from the pressure that I was under here, that this was God's plan all the time. That we were a team he was developing. And those of you that were around back in those days, in these circles back in those days, you remember that there weren't very many husband and wife preaching teams. There were men and women in the ministry together, but not just really side by side all the time preaching teams. T.L. and Daisy Osborne were like that. They were one of the first. God was developing something here for the future of the body of Christ. How powerful it was. And when I realized it, it strengthened me. Strengthened Gloria. Oh, praise God. Why? Why did those things work like that? We kept our focus on Jesus. Act like he acts. Think like he thinks. Do what he does, and you get his results. Amen?
Amen.
The same works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Did he go?
Yes, sir.
Then get busy. Get busy first, expecting the same works out of you. Because he said, it's the Father within me. He does the works. Well, is the Father in you?
Yes.
He's just as ready today as he was back there then. Well, we're just waiting on God. No, he's been waiting on you and me and all the rest of us to sojourn in the land of promise. Hallelujah. Quit paying so much attention to all that mess out there. Well, Brother Coleman, just tell me this now. I'm just doing that, and I'm staying focused like that, and I go to work some happy morning, and I got my pink slip, and they let, oh, what do I do? Go home. Well, surely your lightning fast mind can get a hold of that. It's what you don't do at that point that is vitally important. You don't act like the rest of them when they got theirs. No, you stop. Don't ever let him see you sweat. You stop and you take authority over your thinking. What does love do when it gets laid off? What does love do when somebody makes a bad report on it? First thing it does is judge itself. Was any part of that bad report correct? Probably. So what do? You judge yourself first, not them. You don't ever judge them. They're none of your business anyway, except to love them, minister to them. And you take a look at that and say, well, thank you, Jesus. And you think, where'd you get that job? What were you doing when you went to work there? Huh? Yeah, probably praying too. Father, I roll all the care of this over on you. The first thing you better do is act in love. By faith. Take authority over your feelings, your emotions. Just shut up. Don't say anything until you're qualified. And you won't be qualified until you can speak by faith. Just keep your mouth shut. You can't say anything. Just go on home and get out of here. Go get in the Word. Take authority over your emotions. And look at yourself right square in the face. And say, if you'd have been them, would you have let you go too? Yeah. you late 3 days out of six, you probably would. I'd have fired me a long time ago. And you judge it, and you pray over it, and then you do the most unexpected thing. You go back down there, and whatever you have to do, if you're a cook, man or woman, if you cook, bake something nice, do something unexpected, and go take it to your supervisor. Go take it to somebody at the car. Go do something in the love of God. Go do something the devil can't figure out how in the world or why in the world you did it. And go take it back down there and say, hey man, I got my pink slip yesterday, but I just want to take this opportunity to tell you how much I love you. I may not see for a while. I don't know what the Lord's going to do to work this out. They don't tell him where he's going to send me. But I'll tell you one thing. It'll be better and I'll call you and let you know. But I just had a little something here that I want to show you into your life and tell you I love you. Pick the ugliest person there. The one that was the nastiest to you. And go to them. You understand where we're headed? Don't ever be spiritually predictable except by God. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Do what He says. And you'll come out on top of the heap all the time. He'll meet your needs whether anybody else is your employer or not. Oh, yeah. That ain't no big deal for God. I'm going to close this tonight by taking care of this. The Lord instructed me to read this to you. And you'll understand where it's coming from now. I was agitated in my spirit and I knew something was working in me. I knew something was on that was different than what was normally going on. I didn't know what it was. And this was back September and October of last year. And there's beginning to be some housing problems show up and this and that and the other. And normally I don't pay attention to any of that. I'm believing God anyway. Let's go on, But I said, well, I got disturbed in my spirit. And the Lord woke me up then on the morning of the 20th of October, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I went into my study and I began to pray, and the Lord gave me some scriptures and so forth, and I stood on them, and the word of the Lord came to me, and I wanted to read this to you, and he knew what was coming. And the more I sat there, the more I began to suspect it, that I knew too. Because, see, all of us that have walked by faith any length of time, all of us that walk in and understand just anything about God and the way He operates and the laws of God, you have to understand that you just can't keep on doing the same thing and expect different results. You can't do that. You can't keep sowing blasphemous things. You can't keep violating the laws of God. You can't keep violating the laws that govern His economy without crashing and hitting the wall somewhere. It's going to come. I was surprised it didn't happen before now. Don't pay attention. Now, this is just during the elections. They're just campaigning and just going on about what they're doing. Don't pay attention to or make any plans based on what the media says or what the politicians say. Stay on my word in John 16. Now, that's the scriptures that the Lord had gotten me on that earlier before this came, that evening. Pay attention to me. I, the Holy Spirit, will obey John 16, 13 through 15. I will show you things to come. I will lead you through troubled times. I already have the plan for you, and it is very good. Now, see, you focus in on the master plan. You focus in on His plan to carry that out. Walk that out by faith.
Right.
Amen. Man, you'll walk in and out of their famines and recessions and everything like they wasn't even there.
Right.
Because that makes you part of the answer instead of part of the problem.
Amen.
Then He said, follow it. It will not only get you through, it will place you in a very high place, a rich place, a strong place of victory. And then I remembered what you and I read over here in Genesis 26 when it said about Isaac. He sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold that year, and he waxed great. He went forward. He went forward when everybody else was going backwards. They were all dying. They were starving. They were in famine. He went forward and became very great. And His very greatness broke the famine.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Well, none of that crowd was expecting anybody to go forward and prosper. No, you're not supposed to be prospering, man. You're supposed to be dying like us. Never where he went, he'd dig a hole and get water. They'd dig a hole and there wasn't nothing but dirt. So they just went over and took his well. He dug another one. They came and got it. He dug another one. They came and got it. God moved him across the valley and he hit an underground river. They came and got that. Then they wanted him to leave because he got too rich during the famine. He left and their wells dried up and the fruit trees died. So then they went back and got him and said, man, we want to make covenant with you. Whatever it is you've got is the only thing keeping us alive. So they brought him back and that very day he hit another well. Right in their presence. So, it'll place you in a very high place. God expects you. Yeah, you. I know you expect all of us to do it, but God expects you to do it. God expects for you to go forward and become very great right in the middle of this whole mess. And if he moves you out of that job, you just give God thanks. You just got freed up to really go to work. Dear Lord, you can pray all you want to. You can sing and praise all you want to. You can go witness all you want to. I mean, praise God. You can do what God says 24 hours a day. If He says go in business, you can go in business.
Why, you can't go in business when there's a recession.
The biggest fortunes ever made are not made in the, quote, good old times. They're made when times are bad. That's when the deep-rooted fortunes are made. And if you listen to God, He'll take you forward. But you're going to have to keep your eyes on Him. Get your eyes off of the world. My God loves me. He 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 loves me. The more you say that, you can't say it without, after a while, you can't say it without laughing. God loves me. God loves me. You know why? That's a good sign. Fear is being flushed out of there. What's left? Joy. The joy of the Lord, and that's your strength. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Whoa, glory to God. Give the Lord another praise. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Aha. Aha. My ways have never looked right to the world. My thoughts have always been confusing to the natural mind. Haven't you read in my word that my thoughts and my ways and spiritual things look foolish to the carnal mind? Ah. But to my people, my ways begin to look like the right way. And the more you walk that way, and the more it alters your form of thinking, you do come to the place where it no longer looks funny or out of line. It begins to look right. It begins to look good because you become excited about the future. And you begin to realize, my future's not in the stock market. My future's not in the oil business. My future's not in silver or gold. There is silver and gold in my future, but my future is not in silver and gold. Jesus is my future. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. My future's bright. Heaven is in my future. Heaven is one big party. And we can have days of heaven on the earth. But you have to think like Him. Talk like Him. Act like Him. And you get His results. And you know what you get when you get His results? Joy unspeakable. We were sitting on the platform one night and that whole crowd had just lost it. Man, I mean, everybody's praising God. I quit trying to preach. I mean, we're just having us a big old time. Just a praising and a jumping and a shouting, and I don't know, David and them got to playing, and that whole place had just come undone, you know, one of them night. And I was sitting up there, and I was just praising and worshiping God. And the word of the Lord came to me, right in the middle of it. He said, Kenneth, if it hadn't have been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. What? And he said it again. If it hadn't been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought. I said, why? He said, without sin, there wasn't nothing serious. He said, I love dancing and singing and a big old time. And he said, all that hard work come in after the fall. He said, I quit work just the first chance I got. Didn't the scripture say he did? Finished his work and rested. Just quit. Retired. Had one son and one daughter and quit. Turned the whole business over to them. And the Bible said now, he has sat down again and turned all judgment over to the Son. Said, it's all right, boy, it's yours now. I'm done with this. I'm going to go back to praising and jumping and singing and creating and having a big old time. Why? That's the way love is. Love will get serious when you start trying to kill its own. That's when love gets mean. Or maybe that's more lovely. You start trying to bring death in its presence and death in its family. Oh. That's when mamas, that's when little mothers can whip five grown men. You just get on one of their babies. And that's the way God is. Otherwise, let's praise, let's shout, let's have a good time. Does anybody want to pick and sing? Praise God. Yeah, but we all in debt. Well, cancel it. Believe God. We're to wipe it out. Now, see, people look at me out and talk like this. I'm like, that poor fella. He ain't never been to school, has he? I'm glad I didn't. I mean, you know, I did go to school a while. Never did get much. Until I went to Oral Roberts University. And I got in that spiritual atmosphere. And I found out who God really was. God is a good God. And something good is going to happen to you. Expect a miracle every day. My God.
Lord.
And then I'm traveling around, and it, you know, they hired me the first day I was there as part of the flight crew. Dear Lord, and my lightning fast mind grabbed a hold of the fact that Oral Roberts couldn't leave town without me. Whoa! Man, and I got in on all that stuff, man. Whoa. And then the second trip, they assigned me to drive his car. This thing working out better and better. Amen. And then they put me in the invalid room where they put all those people that couldn't manage the crowds, ambulatory cases and severe, severe sicknesses and diseases. I've seen leprosy in those rooms. I've seen every kind of thing you can think of. The worst of the worst is in there. And they put me in there. And they said, now you prepare the people. They had speakers in there, you know. Said, you listen closely to Brother Robert's sermon, and then you prepare the people. You got about 5 or 6 minutes before he gets in there. You get them ready to have hands laid on them. Man, I outlined every word that he preached, and I talked as fast as I could there for about 4 or 5 minutes. When he comes in there, now you remember what he said tonight. You got to rise up on the inside, and you got to release your faith.
Right.
And when he lays hands on you, when he touches you, you say, "That's it. I'm healed. I got it now in the name." And he walked in and I backed off. Man. And he walked up there, you know, and he's this much taller than I am. And he walked in and he looked around the room. And he looked over there at me and he kind of smiled. And he caught me by the coat. And he pulled me over there to him. He said, now you are going to do the praying. And you are going to lay your hands on them. Only don't touch them till you're ready to release your faith. I could feel it. I never considered myself a white man till that day. I mean, oh, man, I could feel it. I'm just changing colors right here in front of everybody. Oh, I'm just shrinking up like this. And he started laughing. He could see it in my face, you know. And he started laughing. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll be right there. You make a mistake, I'll correct you.
Right.
And the first one we laid hands on was a woman that was so close to death with stomach cancer, stomach malignant tumors in her stomach. She weighed about 75 pounds, and she was so weak that when we walked up there to her little bed, her nurse had her on. Nurse had to put her hands behind her back and go ahead and push her up on her side. She couldn't roll up on her side. She's too weak. It ran across my mind, do we have to start here?
That's good.
At this point, I am not sojourning. I'm just obeying. You understand? But I'm finding out what God's like. Amen. And I began to learn. There's not a person in here that is sick because God made them that way.
That's right.
There's no such thing as a God-made failure. Men fail. Thinking like the devil, talking like the devil, acting like the devil, and getting the devil's results. And now don't touch them until I'm ready to release my faith. Don't touch them. How am I going to know when I release my faith? And then I thought, he just got through preaching it, dummy. The point of contact. Yeah. What's my point of contact? And then I thought, man, it rose up in me. I'd been studying on the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And it just went all over me. And all of a sudden, the fear dumped out of me. Faith in the name rose up inside. And this only took about 4 or 5 steps. All this happened before I got there. And I wasn't so pale in my face anymore. Faith was working. And we walked over there. Me and Brother Robert, you know. We walked over there. By the time I got over there to her, I thought, every one of them in this invalid room, when I say the name of Jesus, is when I touch them and release my faith in that name. Oh, man, I'm ready. Glory to God. And we walked over there at that moment. And I stood there and looked at her. And even raised her up there, you know. I said, in the name of Jesus. That's as far as I got. From right here. You foul, unclean spirit, taking the life of my sister. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, you come out of her. Now, you turn God's property loose. And I thought, my God, the lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring right here behind me. I knew good and well they probably heard him plumb back to Tulsa. Immediately. See, I still got my hand on her head right there. Right. I'm just frozen. I got my hand on her head, and she goes, and blew that tumor out on the floor.
Wow.
About as big as your fist. Look, stringers. I don't think I can think of. Look like a jellyfish, some kind. Jumped up off that little cot and shouted, I'm healed! And around that little tent she went, and the nurse right in behind her, glory trying to catch her before she died.
Glory to God.
Yes! God is a good God! Yes, but that was Oral Roberts. Well, it was also Kenneth Copeland. Why? Oral Roberts thought like Jesus, talked like Jesus, acted like Jesus, and he got Jesus results. I thought like Oral Roberts. I spoke like Oral Roberts. And I acted like Oral Roberts, and I got Oral Roberts results. And so did the woman. And so did a whole room full of other people. When that woman took off, about half of the rest of them out of their chairs, they came and they took off.
My, my, my. Stand up, please. Brother Keith.